Welcome to Eating is a Lifestyle with registered dietitians Toby Page
and Meredith Kleinhens. If you are stressed about food and nutrition, we are here for you. We will talk about real life examples of how to eat well and enjoy life with food.
Along the way, we'll break down stigmatizing diet culture. We'll share our stories and evidence-based information so you can make the best decisions for yourself and the ones you love. This podcast is not intended to replace medical advice, and we strongly recommend you talk to a registered dietitian if you have any concerns about your diet or your relationship with food.
Thank you for joining us. Okay, Toby, welcome to our first podcast. I'm really excited to be here with you.
Me too.
And we'll start this first podcast by introducing ourselves. So I'm really excited to hear your story and we'll go from there.
Sure. Great. So my name is Toby Page. I am a registered dietitian, been a dietitian for a little over 10 years now. I do operate a private practice, which is my absolute dream job, and I love it. I'm also a wife and a mother. My kids are grown up. I do remember the challenges, however. I had a meat and potatoes guy who really shied away from the green veggies. I had my vegetarian who didn't like pizza. And I had my little one. Guess what she didn't like? Potatoes. Oh, what was for dinner? So I also remember the wins. I remember the time that the kids were running around the house and they're playing hide and seek and they're just chasing each other and giggles and laughs and falling on the floor. And I shouted at them, "Why are you guys so crazy tonight?" And the little one shouted back and said, "Because you gave us healthy food for dinner. It's your fault." And I thought that was one of the biggest wins I ever had with them. Now my kids are on their own and they're doing their own thing. My vegetarian is still pretty plant-based, but has expanded to eat some meats. My meat and potatoes guy actually went off to the military and he got really into fitness and muscle building and really found the importance of eating well to fuel that kind of an active lifestyle. So super proud of him for that. The little one, she's very health conscious, and she knows to listen to her body when it comes to food. So I feel like I raised three healthy eaters over the years. Now I have more time and more money for food. So I'm having a lot of fun buying new cookbooks and trying some new cooking techniques that, you know, maybe I just didn't really have time for previously, or maybe just needed to get my skills up. But I do have new challenges. A lot of times I'm home alone and cooking for one. And I do know that from my private practice, this is a big deal. A lot of people are feeling like, gosh, I just don't want to get in there and prepare all this stuff and have to clean it all up if it's just me. And so kind of finding ways to make that work in my week. I am lucky. My husband pretty much eats anything. So I'm one of those lucky ones. So as an RD, I absolutely love my job. I'm so blessed to get to do this. I do work very hard. Just ask anybody. I'm always working, but it doesn't feel like work a lot of the times because I just absolutely love talking about food and what people can eat to feel better. So it's always great. Let's see, my favorite thing about my job is when I hear that relief in my client's voice that says, "Oh, it is okay. It is okay to eat that." They get these messages that it's not okay, and they're so maybe frustrated or scared even about what to eat. They hear from me, "That's okay to eat that." And the relief is just really heartwarming. There's people that are restricting, whether it's the type of food. "Oh, that has too much sugar. I listened to a podcast today about sugar. Sugar is really a scary thing," or "too much fat," or "maybe eating after 6 p.m. All these rules that we have about food, and helping people to really say, "It's okay for me because it makes me feel good and it works in my lifestyle." I do hear every day, people's everyday struggles with food and eating. I think that's really why I wanted to start this podcast, is so that we could have these cool conversations. You know, when I started my private practice 10 years ago, I thought, what can I do to help people? What's different about what I can do? And so in the research, I found an article that came out of the Journal of the American Medical Association, actually in 2014. And I loved this because they did a comparison of weight loss among named diet programs. So basically, they looked at all the diets they could find that had a name. So I won't list them all here, but we all know what they are. And so they looked at them all together and said, well, what were the outcomes? Which diet worked the best for people so that we can start telling people to do that one? Well, I love the concluding sentence in this peer-reviewed journal that literally says, weight loss differences between individual named diets were small. This supports the practice of recommending any diet that the patient will adhere to. So I took that, I ran with it. It's all about how can this be comfortable? How can it be enjoyable? How can it be easy? How can I enjoy my life with food and want to eat this way forever? So that has been my work the last 10 years and developing the app and wanting to have this podcast. I never get tired of talking about this stuff. The app is going to be great. It's got a meal planner inside, super fun and friendly. Really why I wanted to do this podcast was because Meredith came out and said, hey, I've got this blog. I want to talk to people. And I jumped on it because Meredith and I have had some good conversations over the years. We always meet up at our annual conference for lunch. And I always appreciate Meredith saying, Toby, can't wait to see you at lunch. But yeah, we always had such great conversations. And I thought, well, we both want to talk to people about the same stuff. So why don't we give it a try? That's a little bit about me. Want to tell us about you, Meredith?
Sure, I do. And those conversations are always something I've looked forward to. And I'm excited to get to explore that more with you here and reach a different audience so that we can have more people in on our conversation. I've been a dietitian for 20 years, which is somewhat shocking to say because I feel not like I should be a 20-year practicing dietitian. My interest in dietetics really started in high school, actually in health class. It's a little funny to think about, but we had to do a food journal and I had never done anything like that before. And I was struck by all of my classmates talking about, how many Big Macs and all the things they were eating. And it just really got me thinking about how I ate and what could I do in this field. And I went to the library in the high school back in the day where there were books and looked in the Occupational Outlook Handbook. I mean, this is so, it's so nerdy. There's a big old book about different jobs and what the outlook for career was in the projections. And I came across dietetics. And so that really set me on this path of school. And I actually did my senior high school thesis on the nutrition labeling laws that were passed in the early 90s.
Very cool. Don't ask cool. me what Very I wrote bold.
About. Don't ask me what I wrote about. But kind of me and my journey through food too is that in the 90s was the low fat craze, right? This is snack wells. Mm-hmm. This is fat is bad. And so there was this phase of my life where I went through an under eating phase, really quite strict. And then there was this food exploration phase where I became vegetarian. And that was really a vehicle for me to get to learn how to cook more. That's kind of how it started. And then also, of course, the environmental considerations at the time. Then there's college. And that tends to be that overeating phase because of dorm of food and, you know, just easily accessible, right?
Right.
And of course, I was in school to become a dietitian. So lots of information. And thankfully, we did some things about non-dieting approach and mindful eating. And that was very early, dipping my toes into that world and learning how to make peace with food. So that was a really helpful shift for me, although I didn't really get to use it for a while in my work. And I would say that even though I'm a dietitian, it doesn't make any one of us immune to these traps or tropes about what is a good food, what is a bad food. Mm-hmm. We can all still struggle. We're all human. And there was a phase when my kids were both really young where I was feeling guilty if I wasn't making everything from scratch. I think there's such a pressure on parents that everything must be perfect. And that caused me a lot of stress. And when I let that go, the notion of I'm a bad parent because I gave them a graham cracker or a packaged granola bar, it really helped. Just accept that this is okay. I'm not a bad parent. I'm not a bad dietitian. So one of my whys for doing this podcast is just what you said too. There is so much guilt around food that is put on us as a culture. And it's just most of the time unnecessary. And so if I can bring relief to people about it's okay to have a treat, it's okay to eat when you're not hungry, sometimes that's going to happen. But most of the time, are we honoring our hunger and making the best choices we can with our options and really focusing on progress and not perfection? Perfection is impossible. So again, that's one of my proudest moments is when I can see the light bulb turn on for people when you say it's okay to eat X, or it is okay not to lose weight. I didn't really get into my practice area. So I work in geriatric primary care. So I work with very frail elders that for the most part are at the end of their life. And I have many of them tell me even in their 90s that they want to lose weight. And to me, that's just a symptom of our culture around weight bias. And even when our days are numbered, it's hard to let go of that and focus on more important things like relationships and enjoying your food. At 90, you've already lived a really long life. So I often say, eat dessert first. You never know what's going to happen. my goal with this podcast is to really help reduce the stress out there over food and whether we're doing it right, and to help dispel those myths that perpetuate that we are doing it wrong. Get off that dieting carousel of deprivation and then overeating because you've been deprived for so long, and the shame and the guilt of that, just getting off that carousel and normalizing food, and shift the narrative around food from that scarcity mindset, that I don't eat sugar or I'm not doing this. We focus on the half empty part of the glass. And why,
I don't eat sugar, or this one's low fat, or I didn't eat after 8, or whatever it is, that the nose, we focus on the nose.
Yes. And can we shift that to, I'm eating more fiber. I'm giving up caffeine. It's I'm drinking more water, looking at the more side of the equation. Are kind of my hopes that we can explore in this podcast as we as we go forward.
For sure. And I guess, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there where, and even podcasts that dietitians are doing, and they're talking about some really awesome stuff. I listened to Christy Harrison this morning. She's awesome. This is going to be a little different. We're going to be having regular, normal conversations about what we do as parents, as, you know, head of household, preparing food for ourselves, our families. What does a dietitian eat? What does a dietitian feed their family? I think you guys are going to find that we are very normal people and we eat very normal food, and our kids eat normal food too. And we can all do this. We can all eat in a way that brings us joy and be as healthy as a dietitian. All right. Well, Meredith, what do you think about those questions?
I think we should go through them. I think it's fun.
All right. So should I ask you a question first?
Sure.
I would love to know about your earliest, not earliest, but just an early food memory. So when you were a little kid, what is a memory you have about food? Positive, negative, indifferent, just remember eating. What you got?
So my memory is actually negative. And what I thought about first with this question was that my parents used to set the timer for us. If we did not finish dinner by the time the timer went off, we did not get dessert.
Oh.
So.
Not only finish everything on your plate, but do it within a certain time period, right?
In order to get more food, you need to eat more than you're hungry for.
Great message.
I love you, my mom and dad. However,
they just didn't know. It's okay. They didn't know.
Yes. And our goal, right, as parents is to do better than the last generation, right? My parents had parents that grew up in the Depression. You did not waste food. So I can see where it subconsciously came for them. And it's how we learn to lose our hunger cues when we use external set points, like a time, to decide how much we're going to eat.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm a kid. I want dessert. So yeah, I'm going to eat it.
Put the food on your plate and decide how much of that dinner you were going to eat before you got dessert? Or did your mom put it on your plate and decide how much you were going to eat?
My parents must have plated it. I don't remember.
Yeah. So the quantity, but wow.
Let's hear about your earliest food memory.
Well, I will say a lot of people have memories like that. My early food memory is actually a very positive one. And I grew up out in the country and we didn't have tons and tons of money. And my mom was definitely into the white bread and the Velveeta cheese and all that, you know, newfangled processed foods that we could get for pretty cheap. But I had a neighbor who had a huge garden. And he grew, it was probably a whole acre of everything from tomatoes to corn to zucchinis and giant pumpkins in the fall. And he had these fruit trees. And I will just never, ever forget sitting up in the plum tree and just eating those black plums all day long. I mean, I must have ate 10 plums a day all summer long. And I just loved it. And I think that looking back, I really think that that neighbor had a lot to do with my love of food and fresh food and fresh fruits and vegetables, because they were fresh off out of his garden and they tasted the best. Never forget that.
And the grass is greener on the other side of the neighbor. So the food tastes better.
Especially when you're stealing it. No, I had full permission to eat all the plums I wanted. So yeah, that was a really fun one. I didn't really have a lot of those issues of being forced to eat, except I did get forced to eat the meat. And as a child, I did not like meat. And especially the steak and the meat that, you know, was, you had to chew on it a lot. Like I'll do a hamburger, but having steak was just a lot harder for me. And I would sit there and chew it and chew it and chew it until I had to go find somewhere to get rid of it because I just couldn't do it. And I remember doing that quite often. So I've got some negative food memories from growing up too, I guess.
What is your biggest pet peeve in the kitchen?
Okay, my biggest pet peeve in the kitchen. Okay, either defrosting the meat on the counter all day long
Good one.
because that's not food safe. And for anybody listening, it does not have to defrost in the refrigerator. You can put it underwater in a bowl in your sink and run the water over it, and it defrosts in roughly 1 to 2 hours. Other than that, we do want to defrost in the refrigerator. So, not on the counter. That's one. The other one, Meredith, is okay. We have like this drying rack on the second half of our sink, and that's where the garbage disposal is. And so it's like you toss the food back there and you kind of hope you make it in the hole. But if food gets left in the sink and doesn't make it down the hole, that is a pet peeve. So, those are my two pet peeves in the kitchen. What are yours?
Oh boy. Not my kids split. This is a bit of a pet peeve. My kids choose to split the duty of emptying the dishwasher. So one child will do the bottom and leave the top, but that other kid is not in a rush to get this done. And so it goes way beyond the time when it could have been emptied. So that's a little bit of a pet peeve that
Love
things
it.
are piling up and they choose to split this activity that really takes about 7 minutes to do.
Oh, that's funny. I know. Like it's just going to end their life to do it. My kids are like that. I thought of another one. My son could never get that peanut butter lid screwed on. So he thought it was on. He'd put it back in the cabinet. We'd go to grab it, and you grab it by the top, right? Your peanut butter jar, and the lid would come flying off, and the peanut butter jar would go bouncing around. That might have been my husband's biggest pet peeve when the kids were around. All right. Okay. And if you, so Meredith, you have kids at home right now.
I do.
You don't get to do this a lot. But if you had the opportunity to be home alone and not have to worry about making dinner for anybody else but you, what would you fix?
So the context of this answer is very important, which you said is it does not happen very often. And so, what this meal would look like would probably be stove-popped popcorn, some
Nice.
cut veggies, cheese, and some wine, aka
Oh,
not a lot of cooking happening because
nice.
it's such a rare treat that I'm gonna take that time and relax in a different way and not cook.
That's awesome.
That
Well,
would
my
get
answer is
tiresome. Yeah.
pretty similar, actually, even though I do this a lot. I do like to, you know, throw together some grain salads at the beginning of the week and have those. But if I'm gonna fix myself something, one of my favorite go-tos is probably cottage cheese and tomatoes. It was something that my grandma used to eat, and I just grew up eating it. And it, to me, it's almost comfort food. It's easy. I don't have to cook it. So very similar. I'm just gonna do something easy for myself that I enjoy. No cooking. All right, and then our last question. I cannot wait to hear. If you were a candy bar, which candy bar would you be and why?
I had to think. I had three contenders. But I'm going to give you my contender that I only really see around Halloween, which is the Take Five bar, which is like a Snickers, but there's a pretzel involved.
Oh, a little salty, crunchy pretzel.
Yes.
Okay.
What about you?
Well, no, you have to say why. Why are you like a Take Five bar?
Oh, a Take Five, because it has the salty, it has the sweet, it has the caramel like a Snickers and the peanuts, but that crunch from the pretzel really.
Okay, so this is a candy bar. This is your favorite candy bar. This is the candy bar you want to eat. It's not the candy bar so much that you identify with as being similar in characters and qualities.
Well, I guess I could say that. I didn't think about this question in that way. But I think it is a good analogy because it has all the things in it, right? And we as people are complex and we have all the things and we may not have them all the time.
Love it. You're sweet, you're salty, and you're a little crunchy. I love
That's a pretty good description.
Okay. Well, I picked Almond Joy, which I first need to tell you, I don't like Almond Joy. Like, I would never want to actually eat one. So my answer is very different from yours because I don't like them. I don't like the coconut inside. But I thought that I was a lot like an Almond Joy because I'm a little nutty. Not everybody likes me. I'm very complex, but I'm also very sweet.
Nice analogy.
So don't make me eat one, but might resemble one. Well, that's what we had for today. That was just a little introduction. Who are we? What are we going to talk about? Do you guys like listening to us? What are we going to do next time?
We're going to dive into good foods versus bad foods. And I'm really excited to have that conversation because I think it needs to be had more often.
Excellent. Does that mean that we're going to like list out all the good foods people should eat and then we're going to tell them all the bad foods they shouldn't eat?
I think we'll have to have a little discussion about that, Toby.
Okay. All right, then. Until next time.
Yeah. Thanks for Meredith. Listening. Thank you for joining us today. We are here to share our stories and our expertise with you so that you can eat well, stress less about food, and find smarter, not harder ways to nourish yourself and the ones you love.
If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or anything you'd like to share, send us an email or connect with us on social media. Links are all in the show notes.
Connect with Meredith on her blog, savvydietitian.com, and join the Savvy Eaters community on Facebook.
Download the Eating is a Lifestyle app now, available in the App Store. You can help us spread these messages by telling a friend about this podcast and sharing on social media.
Until next time, eat well and enjoy your life with food too.